Frank Robinson retires at age 80. Marcus Schrenker could spend 14 years in prison. And that JetBlue flight attendant was already having a bad day. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 16th, 2010. Frank Robinson, founder of Robinson Helicopter Company, has resigned as president and chairman of the board. The company, based in Torrance, California, says Frank intended to retire on his 80th birthday in January, but elected to wait until the design of the R-66 turbine was complete. Production on that bird is now underway and FAA certification imminent. Kurt Robinson was elected by the board last week to assume the positions of president and chairman. RHC's upper management team remains in place. Frank Robinson founded the company in 1973 and is credited as the driving force behind its success. Robinson Helicopter currently manufactures more civilian helicopters than any other manufacturer in the world. Kurt Robinson, who started at the company in 1987, says, quote, "While there is no one person that can replace Frank, we have a very strong team of managers that have been with the company for more than 20 years. We are looking forward to a smooth transition and an exciting future," unquote. The former Indiana money manager who bailed out of a plane to fake his own death has agreed to plead guilty to fraud charges in his home state. Marcus Schrenker reportedly will plead guilty to 5 of the 11 charges connected with bilking his family and friends out of more than $1 million. Schrenker faces 10 years in prison and over $600,000 in restitution, according to the Associated Press. A judge in Indiana must still accept the plea agreement. That hearing is set for September 15th. Still to be decided is whether the sentence will run concurrently with a 4-year term imposed on Schrenker for setting the autopilot on his airplane and abandoning it over Alabama, allowing it to crash in the Florida panhandle in an attempt to fake his own death. In the case of last week's highly publicized freakout and resignation by a JetBlue flight attendant, passengers on the flight have told the Wall Street Journal that Stephen Slater was actually the instigator of the trouble, which had been widely reported as a result of a confrontation with a passenger. One passenger reports Slater refused to provide towels to clean up an apparent coffee spill on her seat when boarding. Another says he blurted an expletive at another passenger who asked where her luggage had been stowed. There's also a report Slater spent much of the flight opening and slamming overhead bin doors. Slater has pleaded not guilty to charges of trespassing, reckless endangerment, and criminal mischief in connection with his much-publicized exit from the aircraft. A recent post on JetBlue's blog refers to the incident, declines to offer any official comments on what's an ongoing investigation, and adds, quote, "We just want to take this space to recognize our 2,100 fantastic, awesome, and professional in-flight crew members for delivering the JetBlue experience you've come to expect of us," unquote. Up next on ANN, the tragedy of that Alaska turboprop accident runs deep. The P-8A Poseidon is cleared for low-rate production. And ICAS invites you to learn how to run an air show. You're listening to Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by 4Flight, makers of 4Flight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about 4Flight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD NexRad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.4flight.com. 4Flight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 16th. I'm Paul Platt. It'll be a week tonight since the de Havilland Otter turboprop went down in Alaska, claiming the lives of former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens and 3 others on board. One of those fatalities was the pilot, Terry Smith. The Alaska Dispatch reports friends and colleagues are remembering Smith as a pilot's pilot, who was the most skilled aviator imaginable and totally cautious when flying in poor weather. Smith was at one time Alaska Airlines chief pilot in the state. It's been a tough few weeks for Melanie Smith, Terry's daughter. The death of her father follows closely on the heels of the loss of her husband, Aaron Malone, who died in an accident involving a C-17 at Elmendorf Air Base just last month. Our condolences to the family in a time of unimaginable challenges. The U.S. Navy's new submarine hunting aircraft program has received approval to begin low-rate production effective August 11th. Approval for the P-8A Poseidon comes from the Defense Acquisition Board following a comprehensive review. This brings the Poseidon one step closer to initial operating capability for the fleet in 2013. Naval Air Station Jacksonville will host the first operational P-8A squadron. The P-8A will replace the P-3C that has served the Navy since the 1960s as the primary aircraft for anti-submarine and anti-surface warfare. ICAS, the International Council of Air Shows, will again offer its Air Show Academy program this week in conjunction with the Oregon International Air Show in Hillsboro, west of Portland. The program focuses on providing air show professionals with practical, hands-on information in a format and environment conducive to learning and retention. ICAS has been offering the Air Show Academy program since 1999 to groups of not more than 25 ICAS members interested in how a particular show is organized and managed. After an orientation meeting Thursday evening, participants will spend Friday and Saturday talking with organizers and getting an up-close look at how the Oregon International Air Show runs. During the lecture portion of the program, directors with specific expertise about different aspects of the show will provide briefings, followed by the opportunity for questions and discussion. The fee for participation is $300. They couldn't pick a much better example of a well-run air show. I spent a few years as part of a broadcast team which covered the Oregon International Air Show, and it routinely stays on schedule within a tolerance of a very few minutes. Still ahead, scholarships are available for Girls with Wings. An event in the UK invites women balloon pilots. And if Delaney Sullivan doesn't love flying, it won't be Dad's fault. You're listening to Aero News.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-35
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 16th. I'm Paul Plagg. If you know a young woman who is getting started in aviation, you might suggest she check out the 4th Annual Scholarship Program from the nonprofit group Girls with Wings. The application requires an essay with photo stating why the applicant believes she's a role model for Girls with Wings, to include her motivation, inspirations, and future plans. Applicants must be student pilots who have soloed, but not yet received private pilot's licenses. Entries are being accepted until August 31st. At least one scholarship winner will be notified October 1st and be sent funds to be used toward flying lessons. Find details using the FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated August 13th at aero-news.net. British pilot Ali Dunnington has organized Women's Balloon Fiesta, described as a one-of-a-kind women pilots ballooning event in the UK. Participants will experience up to 5 flights over 3 days, competitions and small prizes, and an informal social program at local hostels. The event will take place October 8th through the 10th at Heythrop Park and will provide a forum for fixed-wing pilots and balloonists to exchange flight experiences. According to the organization Gone with the Wind, there hasn't been a balloon event in the UK that specifically encouraged women to fly in at least 37 years. Only 5-6% of all balloon pilots are women, similar to the numbers in powered flight. The organization says it would like to encourage more women with lapsed licenses to get back into flying and to stimulate interest in younger people for this particular form of aviation. Get details on the Women's Balloon Fiesta 2010 on the web at www.gonewiththewind.uk. And finally today, if 13-year-old Delaney Sullivan is asked to write an essay on how I spent my summer vacation, she won't have much trouble coming up with personal anecdotes. Her dad, Steve Sullivan of Newton, Massachusetts, is taking her on a flight around America in their Cirrus SR-22. They took off Monday, August 2nd for a 25-day, 6,500-mile flight around the United States. They plan to stop at 20 mostly small airports to visit family and friends and see the sights, from Lake Superior to the Pacific Coast to Key West and places in between. Steve comments, quote, "I've been dreaming about this trip for many years, hoping to one day show our daughter and our youngest son the wonders of our country. I also hope they'll come away with an appreciation for the privilege we pilots have of being able to fly nearly anywhere in our country without a lot of fuss," unquote. Steve and Delaney are keeping a blog, which is linked from the website of the IMC Clubs, which Steve serves as a director. When they're done, they expect to have stopped in places which include the Yellowstone and Glacier National Parks, the Grand Canyon, San Antonio, Texas, and Key West, Florida. Find details at imcclubs.com. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about trim stalls and the special considerations involved in landing on grass strips. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.